Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 16.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We've been discussing something here before we came on the air about pondering the things of God in the Bible and not wanting to have our own thoughts about God. But have you ever gone to bed and asked God to show you that night when you sleep the answer to something? Because when we do these radio shows and so on, we want to think God's way. We want to do it God's way, not our own way. I've made a habit of this over the years to go to bed and sleep and think about the Lord. Think about the daily reading I read that day, thinking about something in the Bible that I need to know more about. What's that scripture, Brett?
This is in Psalms chapter 4, and just looking at verse 4, it says, "Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in Yahweh." That's verses 4 and 5.
Wow. What can be not still? Is the last thing that we have to put to bed is our mind, isn't it? Our soul.
It's always running.
Set it down.
And when people have a hard time doing that, I remember my wife, my head had hit the pillow when I would do that, and I'd be asleep thinking about these things. All of a sudden, I'd go to sleep and go into a dream cycle, and Carol would look at, and I never explained to her really what I was doing. That was my wife. And she'd go, "It's just not fair." You know, that I could get to sleep quickly like that. I said, "Well, it's because, you know, that I had a clean conscience." But she didn't believe that. Anyway, I just enjoyed doing that. Read that one more time. I just love that scripture.
"Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in Yahweh."
Ooh, I even like that added. That was verses what?
That was verses 4 and 5 of Psalm chapter 4.
Yeah. I like those two verses together.
Yeah.
And so we've got to love God more than our own life. And that life is suke. We have to love God more than our own soul. So put Mr. Soul to bed. Tell him to be quiet. I want to read that again when we... Would you mind reading it one more time now?
Yeah, no worries.
Something about doing things three times. You start getting close to memorizing it.
"Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in Yahweh."
Let's read that when we close,
okay,
before we close. So Andy was talking to me this morning. We met for coffee at La-Di-Da, is the name of the coffee shop in Vancouver.
For serious?
La-Di-Da. They're sweet kids that work in there, and it's a wonderful place to go. It's very family, you know, it's a nice little meeting place and so on. So we were meeting there this morning, and Andy was just bursting at the seams. He saw something on his bed. When you went to bed or when you were waking up?
Well, I got up this morning, and it was early, and I was reading the daily reading, and it just happened to be what we were talking about yesterday, and it was about the parable of the prodigal son. And I got reading down through it, and this thought came to me, and I go, "Oh, I've never thought of it like that." People tend to look at that story and they associate with the son, the prodigal son, and the older son, and that's where their concentration stops.
but my concentration was shown to shift and look at how the Father thinks about things. Number one, we talked about this some yesterday, but we didn't talk about the second part. The first part with the prodigal, when he came back, when he came to his own senses and came back to the Father, the Father saw him at a distance and ran to him, and he was very, very kind to him. And you know that the son had sinned because he says, he confessed to all that. And the Father took him and hugged him and ran to him and kissed him, said, get out start a big celebration. My son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. And so that we talked about the son and we talked about that. And then we got to the oldest son. And that's the part that I was shown this morning, is that the oldest son, it says he was angry. And the part that was really touching to me is how God the Father treated him. He didn't yell at him. He went out and reasoned with him and called him his child. He was his child and reasoned with him about these things and said, you've always had everything that I've had. You've been with me. And so he reasoned with him. And so if we want to think like God, we have to not get angry at people when there is no reason to get angry at them. We have to reason with each other, and we have to put on that mind. Because the oldest son always had just talking about him, about how he didn't like it and everything, and nothing was ever said about the Father. So there's the other side of the story. And I didn't even consider that until this morning.
Well, even though this is the youngest son, so this is an older brother, so he's going to be older. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we don't know how much older. It could be the oldest son. It doesn't really say. It could be 10 years older or 15 or 20 years older. We don't know exactly what it was. But the youngest son, we know he's older than the youngest son, and his youngest son was old enough. He had to be at least 18 or 21 years old. I'm going to say 20 to get his inheritance, to go out and be trusted with his inheritance. Maybe he was even 30. I don't know what time that was. I'd say at least 20, maybe even 30. So that would put the oldest son at 21 through 30 or 31 through 40. And he still called him child. Not disparagingly, but if we don't become like little children, and this is all in the same line, it already said this, if we don't become like little children, we shall not in any wise enter into the kingdom of the heavens. So we don't know really his age. I'd say he was a grown man, at least 20, 21, 25, 30. 40, and God says, child. Well, isn't it funny? I would have never thought myself, I think the happier the older people are, my age, getting into our upper 70s and 80s, the more childlike we act, not like a grumpy old, irritated all the time old person, set in your mind, set in your ways, move out of my way, I want my way. And the more people around you enjoy being around you, the older we get, I think we have to stay young at heart. I think it's very important to stay young and teachable. I know a lot of people my age go back to college, even 70s and 80s. One gentleman, I think, got his degree in his 90s.
There's a story that I believe it's a real small book in the Bible. You guys can read it in probably 3 minutes. It's the book of Philemon. And Paul wrote a letter because he wanted somebody to come back. Do you remember the person's name? It was somebody that was supposed to come back, and Philemon was not really interested in that, and he was upset at the guy. He'd done some things wrong 10 years before, who knows? And you know how people remember things. And Paul reasoned with him, Paul the aged, he reasoned with him, and he said, if you would welcome him back and do this and do this. And he kept saying things like that. And then he said, you know, by the way, you owe me your own life also.
Yeah.
So he reasoned with him, but he said some things to talk Philemon and to talk him down off the roof about not liking this guy because he wasn't good for, he ran off or something and didn't stand for the truth, but then he came back and was better.
And Paul said that he's been of use to him.
Much use to him.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about that kind of flavor about people following God and tripping and having a problem and then coming back even stronger and letting them. And here was Paul, the aged, like a father figure, and he was saying those sorts of things there. I just came to my mind this morning, just now.
And all that prodigal son did was come back to the Lord and saying, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So he had the servant clothe him, which means no more talk about it. You don't need to say anymore. You're back.
Give him prominence.
And God ran to him, clothed him, kissed him, hugged him.
And this is what Gil and I were talking about, is that when the father saw the son, he didn't stand there and look at him. He ran to him. He ran to him. So this is how God thinks about us. If we have struggles or whatever, and we come back to God, and really like that prodigal, repentant, that God will run to you.
Get the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on into his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and is found. Music and dancing followed.
Music and that's what I was looking for. They had music and dancing there. This is a lot that was going on.
And after we had read, how about some scriptures that you cannot be my disciple unless you bear your own cross. You have to give up your life. You have to come after me. And it's like a man that built a tower and he didn't have enough to finish. And people began to mock him, saying he was not able to finish. Not all can be my disciples. And it talks about the salt. If it's lost its savor, wherewith will it be salted? But here, then he explains, here is a person that's gotten that low, and that wasn't low enough. He was still his son. And maybe in people's opinion, he's gone and he's waste, but not in God's eyes. God knows the very heart. So we are generally going to be wrong. The brother had him all sent to Gehenna fire.
Well, the older brother was put out.
Yeah.
That he didn't get no fatted calf.
Yeah.
That was his big picture.
Right.
That was his move. I didn't get a fatted calf.
Well, if you'd have gone away and sinned, we'd live with the pigs, we would have done it. No, I'm being funny.
You know, this actually reminds me, we were talking about this not too long ago, and it had to do with, I don't want to go too deep into it, but with Adam and Eve. When they sinned and they hid themselves, and God, he said, he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he says, where are you? And the point that came out of that was God sought man and is still seeking man today. And when we read that prodigal son, there was that going on. And it's still for the unbeliever and to the believer, God is still, He still wants us to be with him. So it's man. Man's the one that is the separator. Man separates himself.
It's all our fault.
Yes.
It's all on us. But only God can repair it, not a man.
Right.
Only coming. We have to settle it with heaven and with the Father. We have to settle it. And then we come back in the Son. Then arbitrates the Son and the Holy Spirit will lead us all the way.
And you can see that in that little parable there.
Yeah.
That's pretty evident.
But here's all these things that have been building up, and it's God said things we found out in Luke he was not saying in Mark. So these are some really
They're strong things.
They're strong things. There is a limit. There is a line that we do not want to cross over. Yet, all of a sudden now, he backs us up and he shows us that it's not our opinion where that person is. God knows. And repentance always has to be done with God the Father first. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Once that person rectifies it with God, then it's up to us to do the same things God did. The reason God says bear fruit worthy of repentance is so we can see, as men can see that. And that's all I can really say about that. Let the Lord show you. But I'm thinking also, we can't treat our favored people this way. We must treat everybody this way, even the person maybe we're irritated with, maybe the person that's hurt our feelings the most, the person that is the lowest in our little book of favorites, which we're not supposed to have. We're not to have any favoritism, but people do. In their flesh, you do have favorites, people that you're the closest to. And we're learning to put this down more and more. I have only known one person that really, it was the gentleman that started us. He just seemed to have no favorites at all. And he would treat, remember Doug and Judy and some of the things they went through.
I was gonna say that yesterday.
He wouldn't treat them any different than he treated me or anybody else. Or I think he did like Andy better than me. He spoiled Andy.
Oh,
no, it was funny to know him. I took no offense in that. That was rather funny. But I noticed he really treated everybody exactly. He treated people each way that they needed it. He'd customize. And there was no favoritism at all with him. But like God, he could custom. He was just more mature in the Lord. I just noticed that being around him. And I'd see no favoritism with him at all, just because he would customize with Doug and Judy how he treated them. And you've never known him, Brett, so I'm, you know. But they were very interesting, very sweet people, and they struggled in their lives and lived here in the Portland area and so on. But very interesting people. They were just as much a son of God as any one of us. But when you would see them, and if you measured them by men's standards, they were not people's favorite. But not with Ray. There's just something about him that was very godlike, that I admired. And tried to be more and more, I wanted to be more and more like that day by day.
Pretty much one time Ray told us we need to be nicer to them.
Yeah.
Okay, no definition of that. It was enough.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, some men are old enough. He was my parents' generation. You know, it says honor your father and your mother. So I did honor them. Some people say don't follow any man. No, you're to honor. If a person is a father and mother figure in your fellowship, if they're like older, and I'm certainly, and there were older men that came in that were younger than I was, but it's really interesting if you're set to minister to them, and let's say they're brand new, let's say you baptize them, and they're brand new, and you're actually in a father-type role,
right.
Yet when I was that way, I'm going like, yeah, wow, he's my father's age, and so I had to still honor him. I mean, that's just the way I grew up, and you know, and that I couldn't treat my parents like they were an equal or lesser. I had to treat them that were my parents' age, and I honored them. And there's just a certain amount of honor I gave them. And even these people that I baptized, I could not get away from that honoring that by nature I felt like I always had to do. Because of that, I had a lot of very close, dear friends that were my parents' age. And I'm glad I learned that from my parents. It's a tricky walk in the Lord. But I couldn't treat that person any better than a 10-year-old that's just serving the Lord. But there are certain things that in your relationship, you just, it's moment by moment. Did you notice, too, we were talking about this morning. What did we find out about going through Luke? It's really a moment by moment thing with the Lord, isn't it? Following him.
this situation, handle it this way. This situation, handle it this way. So it could be two different things. Like in John 15, where it says the Father, Jesus says that the Father, every branch that does not bear fruit in me, he takes away.
Yeah.
And you go, that's the same one that went running up to him. Wait a minute.
This branch just needs some pruning, guys.
The branch needs some pruning. But this one that wasn't going to do it, take it away. But this one, he handled it this way.
This tree needs some digging around it and some fertilizer.
And we also talked about that involving in doing all these things that Jesus sent them out two by two. And there's a reason. I can see more reasons now that he did that, because one person in the two could be like, and the other person could be, hold on now. And they would keep it balanced.
And you see that. You see a Richard, and you see a Ken.
Well, you
see an Andy. You see a Brett. You see a Steve.
Exactly. And you put
them
together.
You see a Jesse.
You get two by twos, and it's a self-correcting, self-encouraging mechanism that God has set up.
And a Mark and a Jesse.
Yes, and that goes on and on.
And a Tony.
Right. So this is how God does it, to balance things, because everybody will have their day, whatever that means.
And there's also going to be, if you're looking for something, you're looking for truth, God is very likely going to show it to the person that we might esteem the least. He'll say, I'm going to give this person the answer and see
if they listen.
See if you're going to listen to me through this person that you're really irritated with right now. And the least esteemed person is the person you're really irritated with at the moment, right?
Sure, yeah.
Whether it's your wife or your kids or...
And whoever or, God
or some
speaks
friend
through
that really hurt
one,
your feelings.
And whoever God speaks through, yeah. Are you going to recognize God in that person, or are you just going to be annoyed with them? That's how it goes.
And not listen to God.
Right. That's where you get caught.
These things really keep you on your toes when you think about it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Lizzie's 10 years old, and she'll say some things that'll catch you, and you go, you're right. I mean, you have the opportunity to change your mind right there. And it's so interesting how it doesn't matter age.
Don't you just hate that when it happens? No, I'm just teasing you.
But it's a really good example for her that we change our minds on the spot.
You bet. I agree with that
100%. So all these things we read yesterday, overnight they splashed. And that's what we've been talking about. They splashed in us.
Yeah. So where are we exactly?
I believe we're in 16. The next context is verse 14 14 through 18. And the Pharisees, being lovers of money, heard all these things, and they scoffed at him. And he said to them, you are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, because what is exalted among men is an abomination before God. The law and the prophets were until John. From that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone enters violently into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fall. Everyone that puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery, and who marries one put away from a husband commits adultery.
Well, that's some of the things that we were just talking about, doesn't it? It's kind of funny. Because what's exalted among men is an abomination to God. In other words, he's saying we do not think like he does at all. Zero. First thing Jesus said when we started this journey, first time he opens his mouth, change your mind. Because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. We think like a bunch of earth creatures, which we're made of dust. Our whole orientation, our whole mindset, our whole soul is based on God, them formed man's body out of the clay. And then he breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul, which is poured out into this clay body made of earth. So we by nature, our life and our soul are based on earth, based on clay. It's molded to think like clay, like a man, like dirty, like dirt. We're made from dirt. I don't mean dirty the other way, but it can be. We're just not clean. So to begin with, then, he says, after he says, change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand, then the next thing he says 2 verses later in Matthew 4:19 is to
follow me.
Follow after. He says, come after is one word. The first thing was to come after, not before him, after him. In Matthew 16, Peter steps in front and says, oh, let me build 3 tabernacles here. So he stepped after him with things built out of clay. I'm going to make you some clay tabernacles to dwell in. And Jesus wasn't talking about that at all. He says, get behind me. Now you're walking in front of me. How do people sin? That I, when people say I a lot, it's a real huge indicator they just stepped in front of Jesus. They're not following after. It's huge. I've never seen it like this year going through this way. Exactly. I just saw something in my mind's eye that when a person says I, or they, I'm referring back to this couple of messages, is when individual dissent, and you see I am in there, that's the name of Jesus. Jesus can say that. We're to say, not my will, but thy will, O Lord, God's will. So we're not to have charge of this. We are to be learners, always learners, moldable into this new way of thinking. We're sons of light. The sons of this age serve mammon. We are to be sons of light. We are to be salt of the earth. We're to be like saltwater lights. Salt and light. Salt produces light electrically. Salt water and an anode and a cathode, you can power a battery with that.
Now, yesterday we read the story of the steward that was an unjust steward. And this is what he said: to dig, I have no strength. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do when I am put out of my stewardship. And there he is. There's all that I and I ams. One I and three I ams right there. And he was a thief and a cheater.
Looking out for his own.
And he absolutely looked out for himself.
He didn't want to humble himself.
No.
He's too ashamed to beg. He doesn't want to lower himself.
We are running out of time here. We wanted to close with this scripture again.
Psalms chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in Yahweh.
Go to bed tonight thinking about the ways of the Lord after you've read your daily reading. Go to bed night and ponder upon your bed about all the marvels of God. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff.
This is Andy from Vancouver.
And Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Adios, amigos.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.